Support comes from Kenai Feed, mile 14.5 K Beach Road, with high tunnels, gardening supplies, and animal feed. Open 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. KenaiFeed.com.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling down.
All right, gardening friends, inch by inch, row by row, welcome back to another episode of Growing a Greener Kenai with me, Larry Opperman. And what a wonderful day out there today, isn't it, folks? I'll tell you what, and you just did hear the weather report, but I'm going to give you a little more of an update. We're going to be pretty sunny today and tonight, pretty clear. Starting tomorrow, though, it looks like we're going to have rain likely, Sunday rain, and then the weather forecast is all the way out until Friday. It's just a chance of rain, chance of rain, chance of rain. But at least we're going to be sitting there with some temperatures starting to get semi-decent, maybe getting into the 50s this next week. And that's the one that gets us all excited about getting going on our gardening, don't you know it? So anyway, what's really weird is Sunday night could potentially get a little bit of snow late in the evening. But, you know, the ground's getting warm, and that's not going to stick now. So we're done, you know. But we could, you know, I think I've told you folks before, is back in May, oh, gosh, probably close to 20 years ago or more, we had like a 8, 10, 12-inch snow on like May 10th. When we lived in Eagle River up there north of Anchorage. So let's hope we don't get any of those type of things coming up now. So anyway, it's going to be pretty nice here. And like I said, we are getting ready to get full-blown into the gardening season. Now, one of the things I want to let you folks know, I got a couple of announcements to make for you here. And one of them is today at 1 o'clock, at Kenai Peninsula College is Michael Hicks from Grandpa's Worms, and Michael's going to be talking about worms and worm castings and all that good stuff. So Michael's actually fantastic when it comes to stuff, and I've got some of his stuff, and I actually use his worm castings to make compost tea. I've got a bubbler, and I put them in a 5-gallon bucket, and I follow his, actually he's got a recipe on the bag of his worm castings, and you do that and you follow the directions, you know, and it doesn't take much, you know, like for a 5-gallon bucket, I can't remember exactly, but a couple cups of worm castings, maybe a little molasses to give something for the bacteria to eat, and you bubble that and let it go. And then you let it settle, and then you've got a wonderful compost tea. And one of the things that I do, too, is I used to not aerate them, you know. And most of you folks realize or remember, whenever you're aerating, you're putting more oxygen into the moisture, into the liquid. And that gives aerobic. It's an aerobic development within that. But I've also done it anaerobic, and you know that means without oxygen. And you get in there and you put your stuff in, and then you know I'd stir it a couple times a day, stir it up. You know, but the tough part about that is, man, that stuff really gets to stinking. If you don't mind the stink, that's okay. You don't necessarily have to have a bubbler, but and you can look all over the place for bubblers. You know, anywhere online have got bubblers that you can put in your bucket to keep it aerobic, and it keeps the stink down. You know, so anyway, and then what I did was I saved, you know, the great big, gallon, a couple gallons worth of laundry detergent that you turn on its side and it's got a little spigot on it. Well, I saved one of those, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to rinse the tar out of it and get all the soap out of it, and then I'm going to put some of my compost tea in that, where I just got to push the little spigot where the detergent normally comes out. And then what that'll do is I'll have my compost tea in there, and I can do little bits to selectively pour on some of the plants I've got. And I'll probably mostly use that in my greenhouse. I might use it outdoors, but you know, it's not like I'm going to be making 50 gallons of the stuff. So anyway, but that's just an idea I'm going to try this year, is like I said, saving one of those little detergent things, the big one, like I said, that sits on its side. So anyway, that's today at 1 o'clock, and it lasts till about 2 Thursday, and that's at Kenai Peninsula College. And you go in the entrance there where the two big steel moose sculptures are. But this is the last program of the season. The Garden Club doesn't do programs through the summer because everybody's so busy gardening. And it's more of a wintertime activity. So those programs ought to start back up in September and then go through the winter. And then once again, it'll be for another winter's worth of stuff. And then also coming up here for the month of May is the Garden Club Soil Amendment Fundraiser. And one of the things that a number of years back, the club, when I was on the board, we used to do the fundraiser where everybody would order their stuff, and the folks from the club would, typically me and somebody else, we'd go out to Kenai Feed, and everybody would pick their goods up. Well, I talked to Sarah at Kenai Feed, and we said, well, hey, why don't we just have people buy it directly from you, and then you can support the club. And it's worked out for a couple of years. But what happens, so for the month of May, when you buy your Kodiak Fishbone Meal, Four Corners, Vermicompost, Agricultural Limes, and some of Michael's worm castings, a certain percentage of those purchases, Sarah, at the end of the sale, she will do a donation to the Central Peninsula Garden Club, just like as if we were ordered it, buying it from her, and then having folks pick it up. So it's really, it's easier on both sides. It's very convenient. We want to thank Sarah at Kenai Feed for, in fact, doing that, for her continued support of the Garden Club, just like underwriting and sponsoring Growing a Greener Kenai. So thank you, Sarah. We certainly appreciate that. Let's see, and what else is going on? You know, one of the things I just learned about is that it's really pretty cool is, is Diamond Mim Ranch on K Beach is offering some shared access to a moose-fenced 100 by 160 space for a community garden. So if you don't have any property and you want to have a little community garden area, and don't have your own land, or would like to help with this, you can talk to Blair Martin. Give him a call at 907-252-8070, and you might be able to get you a little garden plot. If you don't have, like, if you live in an apartment or something, you might be able to do that. So anyway, there's a lot of great stuff going on right now. The summer garden tours by the club are being set up right now. You know, most people don't want to go. They want to wait until the farther into the season. So, I mean, nobody wants to go out and just look at the garden and see a bunch of dirt and, well, yeah, all my seeds are planted there. So anyway, that's a pretty cool one. And one of the things, too, it's going on, and this is from my friend Ann Grevere with the Garden Club, is the Kenai Local Food Connection is putting on a series of 12 cooking classes. by three different local chefs starting on Sunday, April 27th. That's a week from tomorrow, from 3 to 5 at the Goods. The classes are $20 a person and focus on cooking with local food specialty crops. The classes are partially funded by a USDA specialty crop block grant. Man, say that five times. Specialty crop block grant. And fees collected by the class will go to the Kenai Local Food Connection. So if you're interested in that, that's a week from tomorrow, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the Goods. So be at the Goods if you're interested in that at all, which is really pretty cool. And then what else is going on? Oh, what's really one of the really neater thing that's happening right now is coming up pretty soon. Oh my gosh. The Casey Matney is going to start doing a Zoom class for gardening. And I think that's pretty exciting. You know, Casey is absolutely wonderful. And I'll still, again, like I always talk about with Bobby, Casey has forgotten more than I'll ever know, you know. So it's one of those things. But coming up on Tuesday nights in April, May, and June from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., it's all on Zoom, online Zoom. And Casey's going to do some webinars to help get your garden ready for this year. They're free. All you got to do is zoom in to Zoom. And one of the best ways you can do that is go right to the Central Peninsula Garden Club website, which is cinpengardenclub.org, under the events and community events, and you will see that. So on April 22nd, which is this coming Tuesday, Casey will be doing a program called Soil Testing and Interpretation for Garden and Farms. And then right at the end of that title is a little link for Zoom. It says Zoom link. April 29th, working with fertilizers and compost. May 6th, raised rose beds. So it's really going to be a pretty cool class, and I am looking forward to getting going on those, and I think that's pretty neat. I think that is pretty cool. You know, I'm not going to say he's stealing my thunder by doing that and competing with Growing a Greener Kenai, because there is no competition there. Anything and everything we do that can help somebody become a better gardener is on the top of my list to in fact do for folks. So I think that's really pretty cool. So now that's one of the things that the Garden Club provides you for your membership, you know. And you can the memberships now run from calendar year, from starting in January, and it's I think it's still $20 individual, and $30 for a family. So that is that gives you some privilege to be the first, have first priority to go to events and garden tours and all that good stuff. So that's pretty cool. They did that now, because they used to do it like from September when the program started, and that was kind of a pain in the rear. So they switched to that. Now, one thing I also want to let you know, and this is one of those things, it has just got me irritated to no end. I mean irritated. And I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighborhood has got feral rabbits all over the place. I mean, they are everywhere. And I don't mean the snowshoes. I don't mean our natural rabbits, hares, that are up here in Alaska. But I mean people dump there just like dumping a pet. You know, we got a new cat a couple of years ago for the simple reason that somebody dumped a kitten in our neighborhood, and it happened to come to our back porch, our deck. So we adopted it, and now that's been our cat for a couple of years. You know, well, people do the same thing with those feral rabbits. They will dump them, and I'll tell you what, they are all over our neighborhood, and they're bad enough. And I'm going to tell you, I know it upsets some people, but I am axing them to leave. You know, some of the neighbors we've contacted animal control, and it's so prevalent around town that there's not a whole lot they can do with it. They'd just be spending all their time trying to get rabbits, you know. So anyway, if you know someone that's got pet rabbits, please try and tell them not to let them go in the neighborhood. And I tell you what, it's bad enough in mine now. You know, I told you folks many years ago, whenever I was, before I became a member of the club, I was at one of the round tables, and I asked Bobby Jackson, I didn't even know her then, and I said, what's the first thing you like to plant in the spring? And she said, a fence. Well, that's what I did before I started building my garden and greenhouses. I put a good 8-foot fence up and keep the moose out, and I use those cattle panels and hog panels to go around for my fencing. Well, the rabbits can get in there. And now I've gone out into my raised beds, and there actually is rabbit poo in my raised beds. So they're getting up in the beds, and they figured out how to get in. So I'm now going to be forced to put, I'm going to put about 3 foot of chicken wire all the way around my garden. I shouldn't have had to do it, but I'm gonna put, like I said, about 3 foot of chicken wire all around the bottom of my garden to keep those rabbits out. I'm going to try and fix every spot where they could potentially get in, and that's one of the things I shouldn't really have to mess with. So anyway, don't let your rabbits go. Get them, just get rid of them, you know. I know I love animals as much as the next person. But it's just getting ridiculous in our neighborhood. They are just, we counted 11 rabbits in one person's yard here the other day. And I tell you, it's just amazing. They're just taking over, because what do? They breed like rabbits. So anyway, just be careful of that, folks. And I'm not saying any of our good friends here with Growing a Green or Kenai are doing that, but if you know anybody that potentially is doing that stuff, tell them that's not really a positive thing to do. So, all right, folks. Well, now we'll kind of get in to talk about some gardening a little bit and find out what exactly folks have been doing. You know, and I like to start sometimes with, not, this isn't so much for the folks who are experienced gardeners or anything, but for the folks who maybe are new to gardening and need little help, one of the best ways to do that is starting next year in September, start coming to the Garden Club monthly meetings. I'm not sure if I'm going to make today's. I've known Michael for a while, and I know the whole scoop on his worm, so I'm going to try to make it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it today. Anyway, get out there, if you're new to gardening, talk to an experienced gardener. If you're in an apartment, like I said, my wife and I have done all sorts of gardening. Even if we lived in a duplex for a while one time, I had a couple plants in containers, so I've always tried to grow something. So you can always grow something somewhere. But anyway, boy, the community garden out at Diamond M, that would be pretty cool if you need a place to do it. And I actually had when I worked for the Air Force up on Elmendorf, they actually had a plot of land that was specifically for community gardening. And I used to have a little garden plot out there that I'd go out and, I'd be there anyway working. So through the summer after work, I'd go out and work my little garden, and it worked out pretty cool. But anyway, you know, get out there and kind of first thing you want to do is make a plan. Do you have space for a garden? What do you want, a garden in the ground, or do you want a garden in raised beds? You know, so you need to get you a good garden site with a little bit of sun, the best you can, in the south exposure if possible. And you don't, you want to be careful how much shade is getting your garden. You know, kind of a good rule of thumb is at least 6 good hours of sun a day. Now, that doesn't mean you can't grow something if you've got less than that. But it just works a little better if you've got a little bit of sun for your garden spot. And I just looked at my list of things. One of the things I forgot to mention, folks, is coming up in June is the Garden Club plant sale. It'll be at Kenai Peninsula College at the parking lot, and I'll make another announcement the closer we get to that. But one of the things I always like to remind folks up, and I do this, and we've done this for years, is if you're a local gardener and you like to support the garden club, when you're starting your seeds in, you know, maybe the little six pack bags or something, plant a few extra, because one of the places we get all of our plants for the plant sale is from gardeners like you. So anyway, plant a few extra, just so you can donate them to the club for the plant sale. Like I said, that'll be in June. We'll make some more announcements on that as we get closer to it. But anyway, get out there, and when you're starting things, start a few extra for the club. So, all right. So anyway, we were talking about, you know, getting some sun out there, and you know, kind of decide what you want to do. I've said it many times. You would be surprised how much food you can grow in a 4x4 or a 4x8 space, basically like a box. You know, a box on the ground or just in the ground. I'll tell you, it's just amazing how much food you can grow in that area. 32 square feet or 16 square feet will grow you a lot of food, and it's not too much to manage and maintain, and the maintenance of it. It's not too much. So anyway, we're talking, like, say, if you're gonna do a raised bed, like a box, you know, you can get I'd say a minimum 2x6. I made a raised box at one of our places when we used to live out at Sterling. I made a 4x10. Four by 12 box out of 2x6s, and it did okay. But I think I would use 2x8s, and you can use treated lumber. The treated lumber is safe now. They've taken a lot of the nasty things out of treated lumber. So if you're going to do a 4x8, you get 2 8-footers. 3 8-footers, cut one of them in half, and that gives you a 4x8 bed, basically 32 square feet. So square it up and set it on the ground where you want to garden, and you can do it one of two ways, several ways. You can get out there and you can dig out all the grass, you know, go around, either use a little spray paint or just go around with a flat-faced shovel, or, you know, some of the real wide ice chippers work pretty good for that. And you do a perimeter around that, move the box out of the way, and dig all that grass out. You can do that. Or you can get in there and have your box there. You can put, and I would be doing this anyway, even if I did cut all the grass out. Or you get a bunch of cardboard and you lay it on the bottom of that, or you get some Typar, you know, like the road fabric or weed fabric, and you lay that down and make sure it's all the way around the perimeter of your bed, and then put your soil on top of that. And what that does is that helps keep any weeds or anything else from coming up from the underneath and getting up into your bed. What it also does is it provides a blockage for maybe some voles or mice or whatever coming in from the bottom and eating some of your good stuff, like eating some of your carrots or something like that. So anyway, if I was going to do it again, I'd be doing if I was going to do a low one, I would be using a 2x8 treated lumber. Make sure they're don't just nail them together, screw them together, and you might even think about putting a couple of short pieces of rebar, you know, the steel bar they put in concrete, and don't need much, maybe a foot, and drive them down around like for the 8-foot length of the bed, I'd put two 12 or 16 inch pieces in. Drive them down right next to the board, and that'll keep the sides from bowing out from the pressure of the soil that you put in there. So about two's all you need. You know, one at about the 2.5 foot mark from each end, and then one in the center of the 4 foot sides, and that'll be plenty to hold that thing together to keep them from going out. Plus, if you screw stuff together and you don't nail and you don't glue, if you did ever want to take it out, it'd be a lot easier to take it apart and do all that. So then if you're going to do that, what are you going to put in your raised bed box? And I also say raised beds too, because the raised bed, they tend to thaw out a little faster in the year. And as we're all aware, I'm sure a lot of our gardening friends right now have gone out, that soil is still really cold. We're still a good month at least away from being able to plant outdoors in the garden. There is still ice deep down, frozen soil deep down in my raised beds right now, and that is absolutely it's too cold. Now there's some things you might be able to go ahead and plant. You potentially could plant some beets and some carrots out there right now, and they're not going to come up until they're good and ready. But I still think that's a little bit early to do that. And some folks will try it. You know, that's another one of the things I've talked to you about gardening before, is don't be afraid to try something new. You know, like go out there right now and plant a couple of carrot seeds or beet seeds and see what happens to them. Just put them in a little corner where you might be growing that stuff anyway and see what happens. So anyway, you get out there, but then you got to decide on the soil you're going to put in that box. So you get out there and you, like I said, you can talk to other gardeners. You can, the big box stores, you can buy something. You can go to a couple of our sites around here and get some topsoil, you know, get some of the stuff from a couple of our suppliers around here where it's a mix of soil and peat, and dump those in. You can buy it by the bag. It just depends on how much money you want to spend, how hard you want to make it. So, and remember a good rule of thumb is, you know, a lot of times I'm going to say this, a lot of folks get upset with this sometimes, is, you know, when you're doing all this stuff, you're growing stuff as a hobby, as something to relax and do. If you're going to do this, it's not like you're going to save a ton of money right off the bat. The money savings in gardening comes after time, you know. So if you're spending the money for the lumber, for the soil, for the seeds, for the work, and you're only going to do this for a year, you need to be sure you're doing it. It is a thing to relax and get out in the garden. It's like your zen. It's like the zen feeling of just relaxing out in your little garden. But if you're doing it to save money, you're going to be a lot less expensive just buying the produce. So it just kind of depends on what your feelings are, So don't put the pressure on yourself thinking you've got to do this to save a lot of money. So as I said, 5 years down the road, if you're still in the same place, you've now got the same amount of items in the capital outlay to do this little raised bed or your little garden. So the longer you go, then the more money you save, and it does reach a point where you are saving money outside of buying it at wherever you like to buy it. So, and then I've been telling you about this little raised bed, you know, like I said, a 4x4, 4x8, 4x12, whatever you want to build. And if you don't want to do it that way and you do it just in the soil, right in the ground, you need to do kind of the same thing. You need to take all that grass out, line out your perimeter of where you're wanting to plant. Take all that grass out, find somebody, if you don't have one or want to rent one, whatever, find somebody and get a little tiller, a little something, or one of the big forks that you can turn the soil with, get a little air down in it, and then put some of your soil, your peat and your soil, and build your soil up a little bit with some organics, some more topsoil, and get that mixed in real well. And like I said, you can use a tiller, you can do it by hand. the older I get, the more I like equipment to help take care of a lot of those things. So do that. And then after you do that, one of the biggest things you can do is test your soil. Test your soil, and you can go to the Cooperative Extension site. Call Casey Matney. You can find all that information is out there. Call the Extension Service, and all the process for doing that is right there. You send it in. I sent some in over the winter. I sent it to Brookside Labs in Ohio, and it's really pretty quick. Boy, they email me back the results. I email the results to Casey. And if you guys heard the show last week with Casey on with me and his son Heath, who is a cool little dude, then Casey will give you an interpretation of those and tell you what you need to do. So for mine, he recommended like 2.1 pounds of lime, agricultural lime, for 100 square feet. Per 100 square feet of garden spot. So that's what I'm doing. I put my 2.1 pounds on and spread it out over that area, and it'll get my pH more neutral and raise that pH a little bit, and we'll see how that does this year. So you're doing all this good stuff, and then you have to decide, what do I want to plant? Well, there's a lot of great things. And once again, to go to the Alaska list, go to the Cooperative Extension Service at uaf.edu/CES into publications, and you can find the recommended variety list for South Central Alaska. They've got one for Interior Alaska. They've got one for Southeast Alaska. So they got all this great stuff that show you what grows well in Alaska. Now, if you've got a small gardening area, be real careful how much of the big items you're going to plant. Like if you've got a 4x8 garden and you want to grow cauliflower, you can get, what would it be? You might be able. They're going to be packed pretty tight together. But you might be able to get, let's see, 3 across and 7 or 6 down the way. So you might be able to get 18 cauliflower plants in your 4x8 garden. That's 3 across the 4-foot section, 3 rows, and then about 7 down the 8-foot length. So 6 down the 8-foot, I'd say 6. So you might, but they're going to be pretty tight together. So what I've started doing is, depending on what I'm growing of something like that that might take up a lot of space, I might just put 2 across and then 6 down, so you grow 12 plants. But if you do it right, and you maintain those, and you weed them, and you fertilize them the proper method, boy, you might get 12 healthy heads of cauliflower, which, whenever you process them, you've got some good cauliflower for quite a while through the winter. So anyway, go to that recommended variety list for South Central Alaska, and see what's on that list. And you folks that have listened to the show for a long time have heard me say this 1,000 times: grow what you like. If you hate broccoli, don't grow broccoli. If you hate cabbage, don't grow cabbage. So anyway, but I'd recommend for starting out in a small garden, I'd recommend growing things like a little bit of lettuce, maybe some carrots, maybe some beets. Boy, a 4x8, you put a little trellis in there, you can get the trellis up for peas that vine. Oh my gosh, you'll get more peas than you know what to do with. Yeah, it is amazing how many peas you can get in a 4x8, and just one end of it. You take up the last foot of your 4x8 bed or wherever you're growing, and boy, you will get peas like crazy. There's all sorts of green peas. There's about 10 varieties, and peas tend to grow well up here anyway. They like it a little bit cool. And I grew bush peas last year, and I didn't like them. They didn't do near as well as the peas I typically grow that go up a trellis. And I've got a little trellises made out of leftover cattle panel that I cut down, and I make a little real tall skinny triangle of those, put them in my bed, and we get a lot of peas. So I wasn't really happy with my bush peas last year. So I'll go back to a vining pea this year, and I'm confident that they'll do well again. And then another thing I love to grow is potatoes. Now, if you're, I wouldn't be putting potatoes in my 4x8 area or anything. I grow my potatoes in containers, and I don't keep them in my garden proper, because moose don't like potatoes. So I put them outside my fenced garden and keep them out of that more high dollar real estate for gardening inside the fence to protect it from the moose. And now I've got to protect it from those darn rabbits. So anyway, I plant those in containers outside the garden proper. And you folks have heard me say that before. So anyway, if you were just getting into this, I'd grow some of the easy things. Grow you some kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, your peas, and some of these easy things to grow. Now, some of the things that don't grow outdoor, well, they will, but it is really tough, and that is corn and cucumbers. The warmer season crops absolutely have a heck of a time up here. And same way with tomatoes. I've had folks tell me that their tomatoes grow the different parts. You know, we've got so many microclimates around here. One of our gardening club board of directors, Terrell and Lee, they grow tomatoes on their back deck. They got a concrete walkway along there, and they grow them in containers right up next to the house. And they do well because it points to the south, and they get that good hot sun, and it keeps them warm. But if you don't have a good spot like that, they need to pretty much be in a greenhouse, your tomatoes and cukes and that kind of stuff, you know, because it is tough for them outdoors. It is just so tough for them. They won't make it. And I've even tried over the years for tomatoes. I've tried some varieties that are developed in cold climates like Siberian, literally developed in Siberia, developed in Russia. I've tried a couple of those, and they grow and they will flower, but I tell you what, I have a heck of a time getting them to set fruit. You know, tomatoes don't need a cross pollination. They are self-pollinating. So you get up there and you shake the plants, or you hit them with your vibrating toothbrush or something. You'll see the pollen pop out of that flower. And so, you know, they're pollinated, but they will not set fruit. It gets too cold at night up here. At least that's been my experience. Now, from what I understand, up in the interior, certain spots, maybe out in the valley, some of those folks have had more success with growing tomatoes outdoors, but I haven't, so I've kind of given up on that. I don't worry about it. I guess I could try doing and putting a little cover over them and seeing if that does it, but I haven't done that yet. And another one that's tough to grow out here is corn. You can do it, but it needs to be in a spot that gets a lot of good sun, warm against a building or in a greenhouse, and that's what I will do. Now, I've already started, you know, a lot of you folks, you should have started a lot of your items already. And this is what's really crazy is I know a lot of people do this, but I like to start things if I can. I like to pre-sprout them. So what I do, different people do it different ways. You know, like Bobby Jackson out at Jackson Gardens, she likes to put her stuff in a bowl of water. and just let them sprout in the water. Well, I've done that before, and that works. That works just fine. But I've really liked doing it where I put my seeds on a wet paper towel, fold the paper towel over, and then slide that into a zipper bag, like a Ziploc or whatever brand of zipper bag you use that you store food in. It's laying flat, and then I label on the bag what it is I planted in there, and when I put them in there. Well, today's the 19th. On the 15th, on April 15th, on tax day, I planted a whole bunch of stuff on my wet paper towels and put them in the Ziploc bags, and I left them in the house. Well, yesterday, I had to plant some of those things. I'm trying Yukon gold corn, which was developed up in the Fairbanks area for cooler climates. But I planted Yukon gold corn seed in my wet paper towel inside plastic. And I'll tell you what, it had already sprouted. Every one of those seeds, corn seeds, had a nice little root coming out of them. So I actually planted them yesterday. So those things got planted in soil yesterday. I did that with some tomatoes. Burpee Super Sweet Hybrid 100s. They sprouted already, and I had to get them in soil already. Some of my other items that were starting to sprout, I had to plant those in soil yesterday. So one of the things I do, and like I said, you folks have heard me say this many times before, is I've got a little mini greenhouse that I put in my big greenhouse. And to keep things warm at night, I've got a little electric heater on the very bottom of this. And I just use some of the plastic shelves like you get in any big box store, covered them in plastic, and I got it fixed so the front of it rolls up, and I can close it up, open it up during the day on sunny days. And at night, when it gets cold — it was 30 when we got up this morning — I let the heater, a little small heater, run in there overnight. And when we woke up this morning at about 8 o'clock or so, it was 30 outside, but it was still like 65 in my little mini greenhouse. So, and I've done this before, even when it's been 15 at night, when we've had some really cold nights still, as we get into the time to plant. And it's always worked great. And now on a nice, if we're going to stay on a nice sunny day like today, I will go out there. Before I came to the show, I already turned off the heat because it was up to 80 in my little greenhouse. When the sun comes around, and I don't know if my wife has checked on it yet at home. I don't know if you've checked on it, sweetheart, but if it gets really start getting hot in there, the greenhouse will warm up. And then I go and I open up the front of my little mini greenhouse, and it keeps everything from overheating. That's worked great for me for years. You know, so some people start their seeds in the house under grow lights. This has worked for me, and it's kind of whatever works for you. So anyway, there's a lot of things that should be started right now. And oh my gosh, whenever you look at some of these, it's time to go. You know, different gardeners have different ideas on when they should start something. You know, for instance, you know, Jeff Lowenfels, who is gardener supreme, he right now says you should have, when you look at vegetables to plant from seed, he right now says you should have your broccoli, cauliflower. You need to get some of your herbs going now. And I've got a lot of that stuff going already. You know, I've got cucumber going, and that's another thing that that sprouted even in 2 days. My cucumber seeds, man, they had roots coming out. I had a 100% germination rate on two different kinds of pickling cucumbers. And I just now did the same thing with some eaten cucumbers, that Market Moore 76 cucumber. I just planted some of them yesterday under plastic, and in just a day or two, they will need planted in soil. So, yeah, I had to plant a bunch of my cucumbers yesterday, and those things, and as, like I said, my little mini greenhouse, those items will continue to grow in there. Once they start to sprout, I will, if I have to pot them up, I'll pot them up, but hopefully I won't have to pot them up into a larger container. But all those will sit in my mini greenhouse growing until it's time to plant them outside. Now, as you all know, the safest date in Alaska to plant outdoors is usually June the 1st. June the 1st is typically the last frost day. Well, there's a few things you actually can get going before that day. You know, like say you can get out there, and start planting about May 15th. Or so, you can plant some carrots, get your peas going, get potatoes going. You know, I'll have my potatoes going by mid-May because it's going to take them a little while to break through the soil. And potatoes do not like frost, you know. So, and then midway, you can get your beets, carrots, everything going outside, kohlrabi, lettuce, radishes. A lot of things you can get going by then. And then what I'll do is if my broccoli are doing well, and our temperatures are starting to hold pretty decent in mid-May or the 20th of May, I will plant those out in my raised beds. And then I've got a bunch, like a lot of folks do, I've got a bunch of milk jugs that I get out there, and then I cut the bottom of them out, and I put them over each plant it's kind of a little mini greenhouse over those plants, and because they're a cold crop, and they're made to take, they can take a light frost, but I don't like taking any chances with those early plants growing out there, so I protect them a little bit. Up until for an extra couple of weeks, and that seems to help them quite a bit. And you know, we all just work too hard. We all work too hard to not really take care of our plants, and not do enough for them. So anyway, your outdoor soil, your outdoor gardening areas right now is. It's still cold down deep in the beds and in the soil, and one of the things that I'm doing, I'm actually going to do it when I get home, after the show today. I've got some sheets of clear plastic that I'm going to put over my raised beds to create a little mini greenhouse effect under that clear plastic to help warm my soil up a little bit more. I thought I'd have them done already. But no such luck. I thought I'd have that already done, but not ready yet. We get enough rain. Thankfully, we've been getting a little rain here lately, because the last thing you want is for your soil and anything to be too dry. And that's what I've been doing in my greenhouse too. I've been hydrating my soil, hydrating. Not to mention the fact, if you folks listened last week, where Casey was with me and he had interpreted my soil sample results, my greenhouse beds were high in nitrogen. So he said to hydrate them, to super hydrate them, and let wash some of that nitrogen out. So that's what I've been doing in my greenhouse, is running a little extra water in that soil. So my greenhouse beds are now well hydrated, and they will be ready to plant in. And so you're getting out there. You don't have to worry about that as much with outdoor soil, because we get enough rain that typically takes care of that. So anyway, here in about 3 weeks, it'll be time to turn that garden soil. As I was telling you before, if you've got an outdoor garden, if your soil's dry enough, about May 10th, May 12th, something like that, you can get out there and rototill it, or turn the soil over and loosen it up. You know, if you've got your soil sample, you can add a little lime before you till it and turn it into the soil. And if you need a little fertilizer, you know, kind of depends, you know, an all-round fertilizer, 16, 16, 16, 832, 16. And I know I've told you folks this many times, and most of the gardeners know this, but the numbers on your fertilizer bag, if it says 16, 16, 16, that means that that's N, P, and K, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And it's a percentage, you know. So if it's a, to make it easy, if it's a 100-pound bag of fertilizer and it says 832.16, 8% of that bag or 8 pounds of that bag is nitrogen. There's 8 pounds of a nitrogen-releasing fertilizer in there. 100-pound bag. There's 32 pounds of a phosphorus-type fertilizer in that bag. And then there's 16 pounds of potassium in there, 832.16. So that doesn't add up to 100 pounds, though. That's the total between those two is 56 pounds between those three. So what's in the other 44 pounds? Nothing. It's just a filler. That's all it is. It's a filler. And from what I understand, they might use ground up inert materials for the other materials in there. So it's the same with anything else. You can get a 10-10-10, a 5-5-5, a 0, excuse me, a 0-5-10, you know, but it's always NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Worldwide, that is the order of fertilizer components. And that's one of the things that's that all gardeners, I know they know. Some people do, some people don't. But anyway, that's that. So when you're working on your soil, and right now, like I said, with Casey interpreting my soil from my greenhouse, all I needed for my 100, I got a little over 100 square feet of planting area in my greenhouse. All I need is a little bit of lime. Everything else, he said, was absolutely fine. A little bit high on organic material, but that's okay. It's not that's not that bad. So all I got to do is add a little bit of lime to mine, and that's what I'm working. Like I said, I hydrated them. I'll put that little bit of lime on there, rough that soil up, mix it in, and I'll be ready to plant. I will be ready to plant in that greenhouse. And like I said, my items are going now. My seeds are sprouting. My other items are going. More items are going to get planted here pretty soon. I didn't really want to plant lettuce yet. Lettuce tends to can take off pretty quick, and I don't know if I'll have enough space to have lettuce. So I'll probably wait a little bit longer before I get lettuce. There's some herbs that need to get started now. It seems like basil takes forever to sprout, so I'll get some herbs going today, and then that'll work well. But anyway, that's one of the things you can look at with at the Garden Club site. If you go to the Central Peninsula Garden Club site, and the menu across the top, it says resources, and you can go down to seeds, and there's it says when to plant seeds on the Kenai Peninsula. And you can look at that. And one of our Garden Club members, Kathy Haas, she's got her list for local starting date. The Frosty Garden folks up in Fairbanks for zones 2A to 4B, they've got a starting calendar. There's a Lowenfels starting calendar. There's the Farmer's Almanac for planning calendar for Soldotna, Alaska. You know, so the resources are all out there for you to decide when you want to plant, and when you want to start getting your items going. And then there's also Kenai Peninsula seed suppliers out there also. And you know, I think I mentioned this on last 2 weeks ago on last show. One of the places, there's so many good places to get seeds, but I know a lot of you folks have heard of Baker Creek Seeds. Well, when Marty and I, my wife and I, were back in the Midwest here a while back, we actually were able to go to the Baker Creek Seed store and their facilities by Mansfield, Missouri, And boy, I'll tell you what, the place was out in the middle of nowhere, but it was worth a drive out there. It was really pretty cool. It was really a pretty cool spot to go to and see what they've got out there. They had over like 1,275 seeds on their racks in the store, and we definitely bought some seeds, you know. So anyway, we're talking about, you know, we've gotten up to checking your varieties, cultivating your soil, getting your limestone in and your fertilizing, and then you work on preparing your seed bed, and you get that out there, you rake it, we've talked about raising the soil temperature, putting clear plastic mulch, because it makes a little greenhouse effect under that plastic. And a lot of people say, oh no, you need black plastic. Well, black plastic will work, but the theory behind using the clear soil is you get a little mini greenhouse effect under that plastic, which warms that soil faster. Black plastic will work, but for the heat to transfer into the soil, the plastic has got to be touching the soil. If there's bubbles in there or anything like that, it's not touching the soil. It's not gonna make. Now, there again, it's whatever you work. Some people say, I've used black plastic for years. Well, that's fine. Keep using black plastic. But I like to use the clear plastic because it tends to work better. And then kind of depending on if you want to, you can actually plant with that plastic on there. You cut little slits in it and put your plant in there. And, you potentially could get a few more. You potentially could get a few more weeds in there because the weeds are going to be under there getting warm and they're going to grow. So it's kind of an either or. If you can make sure all the weeds are out of that soil, and that is so hard to do, then you're just going to be feeding the weed plants. But if you can get that soil clear and keep the weed seeds out of there, then that's not a bad way. You got to be careful though. Don't let your plants get seedlings get sunburned underneath that plastic. That's why it's time to kind of time to grow with a a little more mature plant in the plastic. And then the plastic also kind of helps keeping some of the pests out, you know. So. But yeah, it's go to the UAF extension and look at every garden. There are so many resources out there, folks, and I'll tell you, there's so many good gardeners. There's so much info out there. Me, Bobby Jackson, folks with the Central Peninsula Garden Club. And that's one of the ways to go. Oh, and I just got a message from Ann Gravier on that dinner class at Kenai Local Food Connection. She says, let's see what she says. She goes, by the way, we just announced a 2-for-1 deal and free registration for first 5 to register for their first class. So they got a deal going for the first one. So anyway, check with Kenai Local Food Connection. And let's see, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give your email address, AYGRAVIER@yahoo.com. And, Ann can help you out with that also. So anyway, we'll, thanks a lot, Ann, for that. That might be whoops. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, man, I cannot believe that this hour has gone by already. My gosh, I hope some of the things I've told you, some of you folks, this is well known to a lot of you folks, the stuff I released to let you know today. It's just, I love to help other gardeners want to get them gardening being successful. That's one of the cool things that is with gardening. Everybody likes to see everybody be successful. Now, one of the things that is coming up this year with the Garden Club is this is where it might get a little bit more competitive. They're having a gardening competition where they're going to have 3 categories of flowers, vegetables, and recycled and upcycled material. Floral varieties, grow unused veggies, perfectly shaped carrots. So the applications for that are due by July 12th. So anyway, that's one of those things that you get out there. And so check the Garden Club website and check on that too. So there might be a few more secrets in the works in the gardening world this summer. Yeah, so, well, all right, folks, thanks so much for listening to me again. I hope you're learning things. If you like this, go to the KDLL.org website and do the listener survey and let us know if you like shows like this. We'd love to hear from you. This is Larry with Central Peninsula, Growing a Greener Kenai. Thanks so much for listening. Happy to have you here with the club, with me, and happy gardening. Not much longer, folks. So this is KDLL 91.9, KenaiSoul.net. Thanks so much.